Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive.
Thank you very much, Rachel. A very fine introduction there. Holly Parker sends her apologies. She's a bit poorly. Emma Tinson is a bit poorly. Get well soon, Emma. Chloe Baker, don't really know. But as I say, Jessica's with us. So great stuff there, Jessica. Back on the Midweek Drive. Clearly, the others just realised they couldn't sort of react without you, so it's important that you're there. But we do have, especially for Cameron Tilbury, a couple of mystery voices. Let's start off with mystery voice one. Would you like to say hello to Cameron and see how soon he can actually put a name to the vocal energy?
Hey, Cameron, my friend. How are you?
Who might it be, Cameron Tilbury?
Oh, man.
Another kind of sort of setup there.
We don't speak enough on the phone.
Yeah, don't speak enough on the phone. Kat, have you actually encountered that? That might help, perhaps, you know?
Well, yes, it's all rock and roll, Cameron.
Kat's shaking her head in the background, thinking, what's going on here, Cameron Tilbury? You know, I mean, claim to be Maplestar Music and Media's finest, and you can't recognise...
I didn't claim to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. I've never claimed that.
Go on. Who is this fine person who we can now formally welcome to the Midweek Drive?
Oh, we're formally welcoming Nick Elliott.
Yay!
Hey, man.
Yay! One of the world's top rock photographers.
Exactly. From Alice Cooper, Albert Lee, Alabama 3, right the way through to St. Jude, Saxon, Scorpions, a whole heap of other fine folk there.
And one that, you know, is very dear to my heart, Iron Maiden.
There we are. So what is it about Iron Maiden that went down so well in Canada there?
I don't know that it went down particularly well there any more than any other place. I just always digged the band. Been a fan since they started.
There you are, you see. Good, positive stuff. Yeah. And we have had a fairly interesting chat this evening. In fact, this afternoon, you see, the hour goes back, suddenly it's all dark. We think, what's happening here? I think it's fair to say, Nick, about some exciting things we can reveal will be happening, both on the Midweek Drive and also in other parts of the Siren output, really, relating to your good self.
Oh, indeed we have. A lot of exciting things going to happen next year and kick it off around about Christmas time. So I think my good friend Cameron had a lot to do with this. How he actually pulled the whole thing together. So I thank you very much for that, my friend. And, you know, look forward to catching up again very soon. But we're sticking around for a while, I think, Cameron.
Good.
Yeah, this is exactly so. So Cameron, what advice would you have for the legend that is Nick Elliott, or indeed the equally legendary Kat, publicist extraordinaire, with respect to what they're experiencing and so on, or about to experience? Because Jessica obviously is technically head girl on this whole system, and she's just thinking, oh, it's rock music, I don't know what's going on here. Still, over to you, Cameron. What sort of advice should they actually be prepared for as we begin to head through the show? Of course, launching in a few moments with your first choice of music.
Well, the best piece of advice I could give is just don't listen to much Alex says.
I was picking him up, wasn't I? I said, yeah, he's a genuine person. You know, I met him in person, etc. You know, Nick, you've never actually sort of encountered him at all. So.
Think of this, Alex. He's looking after me over there in Nashville. Don't recognize me. Exactly.
So, you know, this is a you almost drove him to say a naughty word there, Cameron.
Sorry. I apologize.
There are only certain things we can actually do. But
yeah, Nick, remember George Carlin's 7 words that you can't say on the radio. That's all you have to do.
Fine. Yeah, because I can see sort of the tension with Kat on one side of the Atlantic, yourself on the other side, and Maplestar Music and Media. It could be a disaster. It could be carnage. But no, it's all right. Our fingers are on the buttons. Marvellous. Much like the Siren News team coming up at 5:45, of course. Okay, Cameron, we've gone Italian once again this week for this particular musical choice.
Italian.
Explain why they've gone down this Alana, please.
Well, last week we played a song by a band called Fire, and they are fronted by Ollie Riva. And Ollie produced the first record here that we're going to hear a track from by Italian country duo 12N. They're working on a brand new album, and Jolia was a co-writer on 2 of the songs on that. So we're really looking forward to that. They were here in Nashville last June. They're coming over again in April. May and for part of June here. And they blew everybody away. They played about 15 gigs around Nashville during fanfare, and everybody was just blown away. They're really incredible people, and I really love working with them. They are a dream client for me. They're just really fantastic to work with, and their music is really great as well. This is Fed and Marta, otherwise known as 12 Notes, 12N, and My Little Girl on Siren FM.
So I'm looking at the Facebook update and I'm seeing a 9N there, Cameron. And I think, obviously, that young lady deserves another mention. Would you like to give her a little name check for the lead singer from 12N?
Oh, Marta Innocente.
Marta Innocente. Oh, that's very good.
And they're from Imola, which is in Tuscany. And they've got a great video for that song that you just heard, My Little Girl. So if you go to their Facebook page or check out their website, you'll find the video. It's really good. And the story with that is Marta, when they were recording the song, she said she cried. And when they shot the video, Fed said that he cried. Oh. So it's a really touching thing.
It's just so emotional. It's amazing. Never mind. It'll all get better. But the key thing, of course, is will they cry again when they hear the results of the scores of the team on the midweek drive? So let's go to Nick first. What did you make of 12N?
Oh, I like that, actually. Very American feel for Italian band.
It did bemuse him, Cameron, when I said he's got an Italian selection on the show today, an Italian country. Both Kat and Nick were somewhat bemused over their coffee here at Saurus Siren Base.
What they're doing, it's really interesting what they're doing. They said, look, we're not from America, so we can't be an American band. But they're taking some of the Italian kind of pop influences and combining them with country. And doing a really great job. They've got their own unique sound. And the cool thing is, Tuscany, they said, is very much like Tennessee. So there are a lot more similarities there than there are differences.
Who'd have thought that in the great mystery of the universe, eh? Tuscany, Tennessee, how confusing could that be? It's a bit like saying Isle of Man, New Zealand.
Yes.
It's amazing, you know, astounding. Little name check for your mum. Is she listening, Jessica?
Yes, she has. She's actually managed to get all her friends listening in as well from
nice.
The Isle of Man.
Nice. You can give them a shout-out to use the vernacular. If you're
well, I'll say hello to the Harris family and the Justices and, of course, my parents, Bronwyn and John Ward.
That is what makes Siren just that little bit more special, really. It's warm. I'm shedding a tear myself. Wonderful. Okay, Kat, what did you make of 12N?
Oh, do you know, I really loved that. It was really upbeat. It was exciting. It was a bit new. Quite fresh, wasn't it?
From an
unexpected mix, as you say.
Exactly.
Yeah, loved it.
And Jessica?
Yes, you can definitely hear the pop and country elements quite well, and they complement one another really nicely.
Absolutely, it's fantastic stuff. So it's a winner. Well done, Cameron. Another top selection there, keeping the Italian theme going. So brilliant stuff on that. You've given your advice to Nick in terms of help and all the universe from that perspective. Thank you very much for that. But as you say, Nick Elliott, really top soul, and we'll be finding out more about his photographic work and genius as the show proceeds today. Plus, of course, looking ahead to a number of interesting singles, I think, before Christmas. And, of course, just share with us this tease ahead, because I know Jessica will be quite interested in this as well. What exciting project are you involved with over the next 12 months, which hopefully Jessica and Emma and a couple of others, our team from Midweek Drivettes, will actually be covering as well?
Well, it's an art project that kicks off, we think, about early January, lasting for 12 to 18 months. And it will be photographing 12 of the biggest musicians in the business.
And that's not necessarily in width or girth or
size. No.
People have been porking out, shall we say.
No, these are, well, in a lot of cases, they're personal friends of mine, but guys that are actually dedicated to the cause of why we're going to do the thing, giving up their time.
Can you name some names?
Yes, we can. Earl Slick, as in David Bowie fame. Glenn Matlock.
As in Squeeze?
No, actually,
the Pistols. Glenn Tillerbrock. Glenn Matlock from the Pistols, of course.
Yeah, it is. And various others. This thing is pretty much now put to bed. We've just kind of dotting the I's and crossing T's and that on the whole thing. But literally, it's a bit of a lifelong project that I've wanted to do. I'm intending to take it back to the actual roots of the art of photography. This is not about photography. I don't consider myself a photographer. I consider myself an artist. The camera is purely the tool that I use to produce the art that I produce. I'm going to take it right back. A bit of a kind of personal hit towards the digital situation that we now have in the UK. Well, worldwide, but certainly in the UK. So I'm going to shoot this wholly on film, wet room, dark room processes, and we'll be avoiding any kind of form of digital post-production, or at least that we can actually get away with, and then shoot this thing and produce it in the true form of photography and the art as it started.
Are you excited by that, Jessica?
I'm very excited.
You're kind of doing photography-wise what the Foo Fighters did on their last album.
Yes.
I mean, that was totally analog. They went into Dave Grohl's garage and recorded this thing completely analog, and it was only for the final mastering that they went to digital.
Yeah, which is pretty much the same kind of process as I'm going to use, Cameron. I mean, because obviously in respect of the printing techniques and stuff that I'm using, and certainly the promotion, the PR that's going to surround this whole project, we need to go to digital to a degree. But it's not going to be a mass production of digital Photoshop, Lightroom, all this kind of stuff. It's not. It's going to go back to where I learned my craft and the craft as it was taught to me. And this is going to be a very stripped back project. So it will literally be a same kind of studio set for every shoot. The guys will turn up. There may be one or two of them. There may be one of them. They may tip up with a guitar. They may not. They might just have a cup of tea. And literally they will walk in the set, will shoot exactly what's there. So the object is to get right back down to the bareness, not only of the art, but certainly of the performer, and just literally recreate that.
Exciting stuff. Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on the show today?
I have had more than a reasonably...
There you go. Are you back again next week?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes, I am.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
Yes. The avalanches, since I left you, taking us out of Cameron Tilbury, and some fascinating news, of course, from the fantastic Nick Elliott. As he's just said in Betwixt Times, so many people think they're photographers. They're not, are they, Nick?
Not at all.
Not at all, exactly. Quite right. Keeping it real there. Anna Lewis, welcome to the show. How are you keeping?
Very well, thank you.
Would you consider yourself a photographer or a librarian?
Not a photographer. To be honest, our society has just said goodbye to a photographer in residence who's incredible. He's actually from a small village in Russia that's only got 400 inhabitants and only just got the internet. But Yuri, his name's Yuri Toroptsov, is an absolutely whiz photographer and exhibiting in Paris at the moment. But it's the way photographers see the world that intrigues me. So, yeah, I'm impressed with photography.
How do you see the world, Nick Elliott?
Illusionary, I think, Alex, in all honesty. I think I see the world as I'd like the world to be, not necessarily what it is. It's a little too real.
Well, you know, it's interesting. What about yourself, Jessica? Because you're saying you quite like photography in all sorts of ways.
Yes. I always try to drag out the positivity behind things. Yeah. I think that's really important. But I'd prefer to capture, like, original things, not try to make it artificial.
This is one of the reasons why, and I think Jessica will be one of our fine location reporters when she sort of works through that whole basis. You know, it's quite right. I'm not sure what your mum will think about you sort of hanging out with rock stars. It's okay. Don't worry. There'll always be an escort there, won't there, Kat?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll look after you. Don't worry.
Well, you see, there we are. It's important. Yeah. Same for Emma Timpson. Get well, Emma, if you're around as well from that point of view. So what else has been happening apart from saying farewell to Yuri, which is a story in its own routine, as you sort of say, you know, I could see the Jersey habitants now saying, farewell, Yuri, das svidaniya. Etc.
Jersey's going through a bit of a sea change at the moment. The weather's really, really mild, and they have something rather exciting going on, and I've just negotiated with my son we ought to do this. They have something called a tenor fest, and basically what happens in November is the restaurants and cafes in Jersey are not very busy this time of year. So what they do is they have, well, it originally started as a £10 menu. You'd be very lucky if you find any menu for £10, but it means you can go to a restaurant and have a slap-up meal for just over £10 a head, and it's really well worth it. So there's that going on at the moment.
That sounds extraordinary. £10? I mean, is that the sort of cost that we pay in Norwich, Nick? I mean, £10 a meal?
I don't know, actually, Alex.
People buy you food. Why would you worry?
Well, I don't eat out in Norwich a lot. I'm not a big fan of eating out, to be honest. No, not
Why
really.
Is that?
Sorry?
Why is that?
Why?
Yeah.
I'm quite a homegrown type of guy. You know, I can't be doing with all this Jamie Oliver nonsense and all that. No. No.
There you have it, Anna. You know, can't be doing with all that Jamie Oliver nonsense, you know, strange stuff, etc.
He is one of the few that I haven't got a bit of time for, but no, all this cooking. No. Yeah. Bit of cake. I'm very partial to a bit of cake.
Let's tease ahead from some of these shows we'll be kind of introducing, because we're going to be launching with a kind of Christmas special. And in fact, we'll put this out because we were thinking about calling this show that Nick will be developing with us called The Tracks of My Years. But there's a certain guy on Radio 2 that actually has that title, and there's also The Tracks of My Tears. And also, so we're going to get The Tracks of Nick's Years. What sort of name would you think, Anna, you would like to coin or sort of use your English background to effectively address if you're saying, here we are, rock photographer Nick Elliott, going to be doing a show about all the sort of famous folk he's actually met right across the wonderful world of rock and roll music, from Led Zeppelin through the Sex Pistols, through all range of sort of fine folk there, Arctic Monkeys, etc., etc. What sort of show would you call that? You know, what name the show, Anna?
Okay, Rock Around the Clock. Is that too cheesy?
It is cheesy. I think.
I'm just looking for two bits of bread, actually. Make a busting sandwich.
But putting on being put on the spot like that, I think it's a commendable response. I think.
Very good.
That's very good. Well done, Anna.
Yeah. Well done. It's a nice line from the point. Kat, any question? Have you ever been to Jersey?
Do you know, I've never... Oh, no, I was going to say I've never been, but I have.
Right.
But it was a
normal... It was memorable
long,
then, obviously.
No, it was very memorable, but I was very young.
Right.
So hence the fact I'm going, no, I've not been, because it's not in my recent memory, but beautiful place.
Well, we are... Anna hates it. She's a liar.
Oh,
I
must
don't,
be terrible for her.
Every week we sort of say, what can she do to put us off Jersey? No, she doesn't, you know.
She can't,
so,
can't she?
Exactly.
The history there is amazing.
Bergerac, you know, was there.
Bergerac. It was good.
Bergerac was good.
Yeah,
I liked Bergerac.
There we are, you see. So it's
fantastic car.
We will do that location report, but other than obviously, I mean, being home to Yuri, love that, you know, Yuri the photographer, you know, the Russian photographer. Is he going back to do shots of Yeltsin and Yeltsin?
No, he actually wrote to the Queen to ask her if she could wear a Marilyn Monroe dress.
Nice. Oh,
you can only guess what the answer was.
Well, I mean, surely Jessica, you could have actually dropped that in last week when you were actually at St James Palace.
Yes,
saying,
I could have.
Excuse me, you know, have a word with your wife, you know, just to see which you could actually consider that. Because I mean, I'm thinking, you know, is this the sort of thing that maybe leads us to see lots of shots of Vladimir Putin without his shirt on?
Well, Yuri's got some controversial photographs, actually. Yeah, honestly, the exhibition did raise a few eyebrows in our local art centre, because they were quite shocking, some of them. The portraits, of the landscape ones are incredible, but the portraits, yeah.
So I know we're in the description zone here, but I mean, bearing in mind, does Yuri have his photographs online? Because I'm thinking we could actually...
Yes, he does. Yes, right. Yes, absolutely. It's Yuri, Y-U-R-Y, Toropsov. Toropsov. Toropsov.
Right, so that's Yuri Toropsov. Let's see what actually happens when we press that little magical button here. We've got Yuri Toropsov photographer. We've got his official site here. So this is something probably even Yuri and his family wouldn't be expecting, to actually have Yuri Toropsov's line. And we've got Fairyland there.
Fairyland, that's the exhibition we did.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the most exciting sort of initial slide that I actually see. Let's go into Fairyland. Let's see what we're actually doing here. We've got the Jersey Battle of Flowers in 1937. That's got nothing to do with this. I'll press the play button and we'll see what Nick makes of what he's seeing at present. It's currently a black wiggly line. This is just quite extraordinary in many ways. A black wiggly line which is moving up into all sorts of... Is the video supposed to be representing the photograph or the image itself, or do you not know, Anna?
Yeah, the video of the Battle of Flowers is actually the inspiration for the exhibition, which is Jersey. The first thing he saw when he came to Jersey was the idea of the island as being a kind of fairyland, and he looked for unusual things to photograph and went round the island looking at pretty wacky things, actually, to be honest. He sees the world in a very bizarre way. That might be because he's Russian, but I think it's because he's very artistic.
We've got travel notes. Oh, there we are. Bones going again. Travel notes on the way home, 2013, from Vladivostok in Russia. It just looks like Lincoln, actually. Vladivostok, Lincoln. Could be exactly the same thing. There we got a TV screen there, which has obviously got a lot of haze on there. What do you make of this initial thing, Nick? I mean, I know it's difficult when we're putting you on the spot here, but
it's very reportage.
Marilyn and I are portraits of people that he met during his travels in Europe and in America, all accepted to be photographed next to an object that he carried with himself, a vintage summer dress dating back from the 1950s, which belonged to Marilyn Monroe. So interesting.
Ooh, nice.
That sort of perspective there. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Hmm.
Well, there's a little bonus that Yuri probably wasn't expecting, really. You can email Yuri, Anna, and say he's just been featured on Siren FM's Midweek Drive.
I will do, because he's a really nice chap, very, very inspiring and inspirational, and a really nice chap. So, yeah, I wish him luck for the future for him, because... Yeah, interesting stuff.
Well, there we are. Once again, Anna has brought out the sort of notion of Yuri Turovtsov from Russia. I won't say the Soviet Union, because otherwise I'd be lynched, but still, never mind. It's a different line. So well done, Yuri. Excellent stuff there. Coming up next, it's going to be the York Maze. It's going to be the Hallow Scream at the York Maze, which probably leads on neatly to a classic we always have to play every year when it comes around to Halloween time, Bobby Pickett and his Crypt Kickers. Whatever happened to that Transylvania twist?
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did his sin.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And you my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can
monster mash.
And yet, strangely, we don't see much of the monster mash occurring at the York Maze. I've gone all Yuri on us. Never mind, I'll keep that back, because I don't want to go into a cod or Russian accent, no matter how tempting it might be. On
to the founder and creator of course, the York Maze. Something, Jessica, hopefully you'll be able to join us on Saturday when our next location report takes place at the York Maze. Mm-hmm. On November the 1st, exactly, all sorts of, because I know last time around we all set, your heart was set on coming up to Countryside Live.
I was really disappointed.
Exactly. Well, this time around, Ed Wellman and yourself will be joining myself as we head off to the fabulous York Maze for Hallow Scream. Hallow Scream. Tom Piercy, are you there? Very scary. Tom Piercy is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of the York Maze, which, of course, in the summer is nice and bright and cheerful and full of really happy sort of Halloween sort of based stuff if you go to York Maze. But, of course, when we come around to Hallow Scream, it's a whole different experience. I'll run the video now so you can actually sort of experience that strange world. I think, is that you, Tom, wandering through the mail? Tell us, what's happening? What are you doing? We've just seen you pass by on camera. That is you, Tom Piercy. Whoa!
It is indeed, yes. Basically, Hallow Scream kind of came round when I, if you watch the film, it shows me unearthing some bones under the ground of York Maze. And when we looked into what these bones were and where they came from, it turned out that they were animal bones. And further transpired, there had been a circus based on the farm back in 1873.
A circus based on the farm.
And there was a tragedy occurred, and the circus burned down, killing many people plus many animals. And these creatures and humans all come back to haunt the farm at Halloween, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm thinking this could be a bit scary for a lass from New Zealand, even though you are used to hobbits.
Yes, friendly people.
Friendly people. So thankfully there's a daytime maze as well as a nighttime maze, as far as this
We have two very different events. Our daytime's kind of running through Halloween half term, and it's all about the pumpkins and the niceness, and we have pantomimes and lots of fun things for little kids. Mm-hmm. But then on the evening it kind of flips over and becomes all a bit sinister, and we have five live action haunted houses.
Five live-action haunted houses.
Yes.
Now,
indeed.
I mean, Natalie Tuck and myself, and of course Natalie's mother, who also joined us in the summer, were pretty much bemused by the loss of senses that we had when we were walking through that particular area. Is this as challenging?
Well, the House of Confusion, which you visited in the summer, becomes reincarnation for the evenings, and basically it's full of demented clowns. So you go through the same experience.
So just like teaching at Lincoln, then, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we turn the lights off, fill it with haunted clowns, and then we set you free in it, and it's quite an experience. And that's just one of the attractions. We have another one called Barnageddon, which you get into a lift and you're transported into an underworld full of demented, haunted lunatics, which is very exciting. We have the Difference Engine, which is kind of based on an early Victorian binary computing device, which separates people into ones and zeros. And basically it's kind of all about black and white, and it's very disorientating and a little bit crazy. So you can look forward to that one. We have the Freak Show, which is kind of does what it says on the can. It starts off as a Victorian freak show, but then there's something to do with werewolves and soldiers, and it all goes a little bit wrong after that, so you can enjoy that one. And the final attraction is our new one, which is called 1873, where we have built a time travel device to take you back to Victorian New York to look for the culprit of the Circus Fire and try and find the haunted streets of the city.
Is there any question this is obviously one of the attractions of the country? Nick, does Hallow Scream appeal to your good self as a Norwich?
Yes, it
lad?
Does, actually.
Yeah,
it does. Well, I love York anyway. I'm a mega fan of York and Yorkshire and Yorkshire people. Fantastic. Spent a lot of time up there. But this really does have an appeal.
I noticed that York Maze, Tom, is offering the UK's biggest cash prize of £2,000. I'll say that again. £2,000? English ones, of course, not euros. For growing a UK record-breaking pumpkin.
Indeed.
The shot of you, presumably that's not CGI that we've actually got there sitting by that, because I mean that's a pretty significant pumpkin. That's a huge pumpkin.
We had the competition was held last Saturday,
yes.
And the winner was from Middlesbrough, who brought his half ton pumpkin on a lorry down from Middlesbrough.
Good.
Wow. Not that I like to boast, but my word, in the borough we have some mighty big pumpkins. So there you are. That's life. A little bit of triumphantness from of course the north. So Jessica, any quick questions for Tom Pearson? What sort of things? I mean, are you looking forward to the Halloween at York Maze?
I think it would be very interesting. To be brutally honest with you,
yes.
I'm not a huge Halloween fan.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
You're coming to exactly the wrong place, I can assure you.
But I'd be very interested.
Think of it as cultural studies, Jessica. Think of it as cultural routine. Think of it as typical British approach. think of it as the kind of things that basically would make New Zealand go independent. Kat, what are your thoughts?
Do you know, I love Halloween. Mm. Now, isn't York one of the most haunted places in the country as well? Mm. So it's the most perfect place to go for Halloween. Mm. I've got a question, actually. You've got your pumpkin there, and the biggest one, obviously, is going to be winning this wonderful prize. Right. Are they actually going to be carving it?
It's already carved. You guys are coming on Saturday, which is the last day of our daytime and nighttime events. It's already been carved into, it kind of looks like a kind of weird clown's face. So you'll be able to see it when you come down. It's quite
interesting.
And we also held a carving competition on Sunday, and the winner of the carving competition had carved my face into a pumpkin, which was weird in the extreme.
And that's just part and parcel of the Tom Piercy World of Delights that you can actually find out, obviously, on yorkmaze.com. That's yorkmaze.com, and then because you have a direct link there to the Halloween at York Maze and so on and so forth. Extraordinary stuff there. In fact, Nick, if you're free on Saturday, come along and join us.
Oh, it'd be nice, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not. But
he's in Norwich, photographing rock stars. What can you say?
Well, if you can make it, just bring a spare pair of underpants and you'll be fine.
Marvellous.
Now, you know, it's Jessica's first ever routine. We don't say, you know, Jessica, make sure you got a spare pair of undies. Please, it's just not a way forward. You know, we've got Ed Wellman as well. Who knows what could happen on that basis? It's going to be fun. It's the Halloween at York Maze. Brilliant stuff. Jessica, because we forgot completely, well, I didn't quite forget, but we had to move on with Anna. We've got to throw those last two questions at you. Would you like to do the business with Tom Piercy, please?
Yes. Have you enjoyed the midweek drive today?
I always enjoy my evenings with Alex.
And will we be hearing from you in the future?
You will. You'll be hearing from me on Saturday when you all come to visit.
Yes. You see, that's what we like about Tom. He tells you like it is. Fantastic. Tom Piercy, we salute you. Take care now.
Okay, thanks, guys. See you soon.
Nick, that we haven't really had many heavy rock tracks on the programme this evening, which is a fair point. You know, you can actually quite rightly say it's still been very light. I mean, obviously we had 12N, etc., but no Motorhead, no Metallica. The Rock Show, of course, is hosted regularly on Siren every, I think, second Thursday of every month, and that's a wonderful go-to place. But we will be having some rock tracks coming in before too long. But as we said in the model of the ideal sort of line for how to feature Nick's single collection, and we look forward to doing Merry Christmas, Everybody, with Slade.
Indeed.
You've worked with Noddy Holder, of course, and Dave Hill, etc. Roy Wood of Wizard.
Yep.
Exactly.
The legend who is Roy.
And the Pogues.
The Pogues.
Fairy Tale of New York. It's yours.
Yes.
And it'll kind of alternate with the magic that is Michelle Monroe, won't it, Michelle? How are you?
Good evening, Alex. I'm fine, thank you. No rock from my side tonight, I'm afraid.
did you never get the feeling that your dad, actually, Matt Monroe, ultimately wanted to cut an album where he kind of ripped his shirt to shreds and just sort of, you know, did a kind of leap through with his guitar and sort of, you know, strike the axe and just rock out?
Well, actually, now that you've mentioned it, no.
So there you go. Anyway,
no, he actually, when he let go, he did jazz blues, which was, he loved. But he did a couple of rock and roll shows on the road with Jess Conrad, who at the time was a big name with, you know, Mystery Girl and Cherry Pie and things like that. And it was a rock and roll show. But Dad fitted in and did his thing, and it still went down well.
Well, you see, that's the whole point about it. Ultimately, it's good music, isn't it, Nick?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, Matt was a legend, definitely.
Oh.
One of the all-time great Bond themes.
Oh. Yes, I agree with you there.
From Russia with Love, Jessica. Indeed. You're wondering. Yeah, in fact,
Brother James Bond.
Whenever they do a countdown of the top, you know, Bond hits, From Russia with Love always gets voted in within the top five, so it's rather nice.
And nice for Yuri as well, who, of course, we mentioned on the show earlier. You know, the sort of script is put together. Yuri's a photographer, by the way, Michelle, in case you're wondering. What Yuri? Where are we going here? Anyway... Thanks to fabulous Richard Moore at Mint Audio Restoration.
Oh, yes.
Everything's all sorted out, so you can share with us. In fact, a little bit of time, Michelle, to sort of just explain how these recordings, because I was explaining to both Nick and Kat earlier in the day how Richard works so tremendously well in terms of cleaning them all up and getting rid of all the hiss and getting them all sorted out in pristine condition.
A wonderful job. And also, EMI were very, very lazy, it turned out, for a lot of the recordings, where they chose to use mono instead of stereo. I think laziness was it a lot of the time. So Richard's not only remastered all the tracks and brought it up to sort of a modern sound, but he's, you know, converted everything to stereo and made sure that everything's top quality now. So it's very exciting for me. I mean, we've worked together now, I think, 7 years, And literally, we've revamped the entire catalogue.
And before we go into the general spiel for this, I know we've been waiting for this moment for your good self, Michelle, our very own version of Siren Royalty on the Midweek Drive, to formally congratulate Jessica, who was recently down at St James's Palace, as we followed through on Thursday, the journey when she was just leaving Peterborough, I think, when we actually came
through. Fabulous.
Sort of through there, to receive her gold Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Oh, wonderful. Well done, Jessica.
Thank you very much.
Well, no, I mean, when I wrote the book, The Singer Singer, which is the biography on my dad's life, I won an award in America, believe it or not, first, the Irwin Award, and it was such a thrill. And I think, you know, if somebody acknowledges your work, whatever you do, it's a great thrill. You can't get better accolade than that, really. So well done.
Thank you. Duly congratulated on that basis. Right, Michelle, it's over to
Alex.
You. Talk to us about this week.
Well, this week, Alex, I have one of my father's more obscure recordings, which was actually the B-side to one of his biggest hits, Softly As I Leave You. Now, it's a song from a little-known show called Not to Worry. It was a review with sketches, music and lyrics by Stanley Daniels, and that opened at the Garrick Theatre in London on the 22nd of February 1962. But from what I can find out, not for very long. Now, the cast included Prunella Scales, who later that same year would hit the big time in the sitcom Marriage Lines, and of course later as Sybil in Fawlty Towers. Now, Stanley Daniels may not have hit the big time himself with the show, but he went on to write for the Dean Martin Show, and he won 8 Emmy Awards for his work on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Taxi. Now, the song in question was only recorded by one other artist, a group called The Double Four, for Capitol Records in 1963. Now, my dad's recording predates the London opening of the show by a couple of months, being taped at Abbey Road Studios on the 27th of December 1961, with Johnny Spence conducting and George Martin as producer. Well, that just about wraps up everything there is to say about the song. So other than that, Alex, is there anything else I can do for you?
Is there anything I can do for you? Anything at all I can do for you? I'd be happy.
We don't have a lot, but what I've got, you've got too. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for you?
Superb. Nick, before we actually go into numbers and all the rest of the bits and pieces, I think you've got a few things to say. Yeah, in fact, actually, yeah, Michelle, Nick would like to meet you personally. Personally.
Ooh.
Why is that, Nick Elliott, photographer extraordinaire?
Well, I would really like to just spend some time and talk about your father, talk about your life. Fascinates me. I mean, that whole kind of period, very important part of my life. Yeah, the 60s, I have a very deep attachment to it, and we were just saying to Alex that Matt was considered the UK's equivalent of the American Rat Pack.
Yes, that's right.
You know, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, the true legends of where this whole thing started, really. Fantastic.
Aww.
Just wonderful times.
I've just pulled around
a wonderful artist
on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Of yourself, Michelle, holding the Matt Munro book, taken in our northern studios there, where you sort of jauntily moving headphones from one side to the other. There we are.
Yeah, we had
lovely.
Good fun, didn't we?
And we still do, Michelle. That's why we do the show on a weekly basis. Oh, I do, fortnightly from that point of view. And astoundingly, Jessica, you found out the names of some artists that you weren't familiar with.
Yes, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, Frank. It was New Zealand, of course. I know.
No, hang on. Excuse. New Zealand does have stereo, doesn't it? And radio.
Hey, we're not that backwards. I'll definitely research into these.
Because
are you under 20?
Yes, I'm 19.
Okay, I forgive you.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think it's an age thing, though, Michelle, is it?
No. I was born during the Second World War. I still know it happened.
Everybody should educate themselves with that beginning of music and those kind of artists.
You will never, ever get that calibre of stable of artists that came out of the 60s,
no.
And they're all still being played today. You know, not just once or twice, but, you know, hours of radio is taken to playing Sammy Davis and Dean Martin and Tony Bennett, bless him, who was on the other night on television. I mean,
yeah.
Absolutely fabulous.
And I actually
you go back 5 years and name me an artist.
Heard a Matt Monro track played on Sounds of the 60s only a couple of months ago.
Brian Matthews,
yeah, fantastic show.
Oh. Ah, but you see, if you tune into Siren every week, yeah. You hear Matt Monro every week. Then.
There you have it. And that's where we take that, BBC Radio 2. You know,
absolutely.
You might do one every so often, Sounds of the 60s. We bring it to you on a week, you know, every fortnight. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Lovely.
So there we are. And Kat, what did you make of the Matt Monro selection today?
Absolutely wonderful. It's great, isn't it, taking a walk down memory lane. And I'm talking to Jessica here that she's not heard of some of these amazing artists. She's now made a nice list and she's going to look them all up and she's going to educate herself in some wonderful music.
Yes, I must point out, Jessica, that it's very important when you look it up that you spell the name right. Now, it hasn't got an E at the end or a U in the middle. It's simply M-O-N-R-O, which is an anagram of moron.
There you have it. A line which was used by your father in the early days.
Always,
of dealing with press relations, actually.
Shocking.
I mean, their cat was the notion of the singing bus driver, etc., and yet, actually, he wasn't really the singing bus driver, was he, Michelle?
No, that was a total insult to the man. It really
was.
Well,
you know
total
what it
insult.
Was. In those days, I mean, to have your own press secretary was a big deal. And they jumped on the wagon decker because he'd come literally for his audition with his bus suit on. He'd only been there about 10 weeks at that point and left after 13. But the thing is, it was a great, it's like a Cinderella story, you know, sort of busman makes good. And they latched onto that and it never left him. You know, it's like Britain Sinatra, again, a tag that really irritated him, but it never left him. But, you know, we have to be grateful for all sorts of things because that press also did him a lot of good. So, but I think it was all right at the beginning, but after 20 years or so, he did a little irk, you know, that he said, well, actually, I'm Matt Monro, not Sinatra. You know, and David Jacobs did a wonderful thing in America where he introduced Sinatra as the American Monro.
I think I've actually seen that clip.
I think I have. And David knew Frank Sinatra quite well, so, you know, it was tongue-in-cheek, but he meant it. It was a little dig, you know.
Yeah. Must be very careful, though, when dealing with Sinatra, that you didn't have a horse's head to actually deal with. But I won't say anything else, because, you know, all sorts of other issues could be working through there, and it is coming up to Halloween, so we don't want to scare.
Well, you know something, Alex? Joking apart, my dad was actually offered a contract with Reprise, which was Sinatra's label. And he so wanted to take the offer because it would have meant that possibly he could have, you know, sung with Sinatra, done an album together. But the powers that be thought it might be a rather sinister offer because obviously, as you know, once you're signed to a contract, they can dictate everything. In other words, he may never have sung or released an album again. Mm-hmm. And they thought it was that ploy, was to get him off the market so there was no competition. Yeah. So sadly, Dad listened and didn't do it. But, you know, it could have been a whole different ball game.
Probably in another time,
actually. But he did have a lot of ties, you know, with a lot of people, so they were worried about the offer.
Indeed. So, Michelle, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Fabulous, because I haven't spoken to you live for a while.
No, it's been pre-recs and various other packages. It's a whole new area. And what advice would you give Nick, because he's going to start off a similar thing, but talking about artists he's worked with and favourite albums and songs and various other factors, starting, as I say, with those, the aforementioned Slade and a variety of other things for Christmas singles.
Also fantastic stable of artists as well. But then that is a long time ago. You know, you don't get that now. But starting a book he is.
You've had several books out, of course, Nick. Photography books and things.
Yeah. Well, they're image-led books. They're not about photography. They're about my work.
Yes.
But
Yes.
And I'm sure you'd be able to meet up with them in the fall.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, you never know nowadays what happens.
No, that would be lovely, Michelle. It would.
We'll pass over internet email
addresses. Well, you've got my email address. Alex will make sure you've got it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. We'll have to book something up in catch up in town somewhere.
Michelle Monro, rock chick. I can see that.
I've been called worse, Alex.
So I take it, Michelle, you'll be back with us in a couple of weeks' time?
I will, Alex. Look forward to
Yay!
It.
Yay!
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that human affairs were being watched from the timeless worlds of space. No one could have dreamed we were being scrutinized as someone with a microscope studies creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Few men even considered the possibility of life on other planets. And yet, across the gulf of space, minds immeasurably superior to ours regarded this Earth with envious eyes. And slowly and surely, they drew their plans against us.